No, Vamos Itself will only take about 2 years. Yeah,
I know, I was exaggerating.
Maybe we'll do NHL beards for it. Uh-huh. We'll do NHL beards for that.
NHL
playoff beers. We'll grow our beers for the entire Masecta, all 2 years.
Yeah, Vamos.
Okay.
What does that have to do with the NHL and beards?
In the NHL, in the playoffs, they all grow beards until they're done. And then when they win the Stanley Cup, they shave it off. Thank you.
But why specifically
at home? This is the good stuff. This is why we record. Okay, anyway. That was very important to know. Now, so today's daf is Yudalet Amud Beis. And we begin with... We had gotten into the middle of the Nevios. We had seven Nevios that were misnabo for Klal Yisrael. And we discussed some of them. Sarah, among others. Devorah was there. And Abigail, we're going to start with today.
Yudalet Amud Bet.
We're on Yudalet Amud Aleph on the bottom, and we're going to be doing tonight Yudalet Amud Beis, and wrapping up with Hulda, Esther, and then back to other things. Okay.
Abigail, by the way, the main wife of David Noah.
I don't know Maine. I don't know what Maine. How do you explain
Maine? I thought it was Michal. If there was a main one,
I don't know. I don't know what Maine. I don't know how to define Maine. Abigail dechsev hayahi rocheves al hachamor v'yoredes b'seisar ahar. Now, if you recall, the story of Abigail is that her husband was not such a great guy. Naval kishmo kenhu was not such a great person, and he did not give David Amalek the proper kavod. And therefore, David was about to slice his head off. And Abigail came down the mountain to try to save her husband and speak to David on his behalf. And so it says, "Vayhi rocheves al hachamor." She was riding on the donkey. "V'yoredes b'seisar ahar," and she was going down the seisar ahar, the hidden parts of the mountain. So it's a very strange lashon the Gemara picks up on. "B'seisar ahar." Minahar mi boyele. What do you mean, "b'seisar ahar"? What does that mean? Minahar mi boyele. So I'm a Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Rabbi Bar Shmuel says Beseisa really is referencing something else. Al iske dam habam in astarim. Really, she was referencing the iske dam that comes from the private places, meaning the dam nida. Not la dam herasalo. She took dam from the osa makom, and she showed her him the dam to paskin for her. Is this dam nida? Amar la, he said to her, v'chi marin dam balayla. Do I paskin? You can't paskin dam nida at night. You're not supposed to. So Amrlo, she said to him, okay, if you're going to say that, v'chi dan in dinin nefashos balayla, can you paskin dinin nefashos at night? Meaning you want to kill Naval. You're saying that we should behead Naval. But it's nighttime. You have no right to do so. So Amrlo, he says to her, morid b'malchusu. But he's morid b'malchus. In other words, a morid b'malchus does not fall under the typical rules of paskening dine nefashos at night. And Amor b'malchus, you can do just about anything. Melech can do just about anything. So he says to her, Amor b'malchus. V'lo tzorech l'midayne. I don't have to judge him. So Amr lo, she says to him, Adayin shol kayim. Yeah, but shol is still alive. V'lo yotza tivacha ba'olam. And your teva, your kingship is not known in the world yet. So it would be improper for you to start conducting yourself as a king when you are not quite known as the king. At this point, he really was already anointed as king, but he wasn't known to the world as king, and so it would look awfully bad if you were to start chopping people's heads off before people even recognize you publicly as being the king. So she said, it's not a great idea. Amar la, he said to her, you're right, Baruch Tameich. Your ta'am, your reasoning should be blessed. Ubrukaat, and you are blessed. Asher kilisani hayom azem yibo b'damim. You have prevented me today from coming into bloods, meaning from doing things, from killing, right? But it says b'damim, multiple bloods. So what does it mean, damim? Damim tarti mashma. Why is it say damim? As it's mashma that it's multiple bloods. Elam alamish agilsa ashuka. What it's teaching us is that she was megala her knees, I don't know if that's figurative or whatnot, But v'halach la'ora gimel parsos, and he desired, he lusted after her for three parsos, meaning she was, her beauty was able to be seen three parsos away, very far. Amar la, he said to her, hishmili, I want you to listen to me, which is a reference to, I want you to be with me, right? To be my wife, at least. Amra lo, she said to him, lo siya zos la falapuka, this should not be for you a stumbling block. You should not stumble on this. Zos, the fact that she said you shouldn't stumble on this, mechlal de'ika chrisi, which implies that there is something else. Umay nihu, and what is that something else that he's going to stumble on? Maisa debasheva. So she was referencing, she was being misnabe on a later event, which is Basheva, and essentially telling David, watch yourself. Watch yourself, because this is going to happen. Maskana hachihavi, and in fact, this is what happened, which really makes the whole incident with Basheva all the worse, because not only did he do the wrong thing at the time, but he was apparently given a nevuah that this was going to happen, or that something like this was going to happen, and he should have been more vigilant. He should have been doubly vigilant. Vigilant because he's dealing with an Eishes Ish at the time, and vigilant because he knows that this is coming down the pike. So it really makes the whole thing even worse. As bad as it sounded before, this Gemara really makes it sound even worse. And anyway, Avigal continues and says, V'haisa nefesh adoni tzrura b'tzrura chayim. The soul of my master should be bound in the binds of life. Meaning you will live a prosperous life if you keep to this. He havas miftara mine, when she excused herself from him finally after this conversation. Amrele, she said to him, Vehitiva Hashem l'adoni, Hashem should be good to my master, Vezacharto es amasecha, and you should remember your maidservant, referencing herself. Right? So she's saying, wink, wink, I'm out there. And if anything happens to my husband, I'm going to be a freebie. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Haynu da Amri Inshi." This is what people mean when they say, "Itisa bahadi shu sapilcha." A woman, while she is speaking, she is sewing, meaning she is she's doing multiple things. She's a multitasker. Okay, she's saving her husband at the same time. She's wink, wink. You know, my husband's going to go at some point. It's just a matter of time, which was the case. And, you know, I'm up for grabs. Ika da Amri. No? That's not what you're saying? Ika da Amri.
It's the way that she could be saying it. What? It is the way that she could be saying it.
Ika da Amri, others say, Shaf ilva azil bar avza. A duck walks humbly. Ve'inohi mitaifi. And his eyes are looking up. So while a duck is looking down, his eyes are always up. Meaning she's, you know, very humbly saving her husband and trying to defend him. But at the same time, she's looking towards the future saying, hey, buddy, come on, let's do this thing. Anyway, yeah, is that what's going on? Is everybody in agreement? Is what's going on? Yeah?
There seems to be dissent.
We got a question. I can't louder, I'm sorry.
Her husband ends up dying anyway.
Yeah, he's a goner. What was the sin that he committed? Yeah, he refused food to David HaMelech's servants. Yeah, his servants. Yeah, but he knew that it was David HaMelech's servants. So it was, yeah, he knew it. He knew when they had introduced him themselves as such, to my knowledge, if I remember correctly. So he knew what was happening, and he was not just refusing food, but he was very disrespectful. Very disrespectful. His mother would not have approved of his language. Okay? Anyway, he was a goner, and Abigail ended up marrying David and all of Shalom al Yisrael. Until about Sheva, then it wasn't Shalom al Yisrael. But anyway, that's that part. That's Avigail. So Avigail was Misnabe about what? About Bathsheva, right? Didn't really help much, but at least not him. But it did help.
Doesn't that kind of go against what we were previously saying about the recording of the Nevuah?
About the what?
We said that there's all these Nevi'im, but we only recorded these 55 Nevi'im because it's a perpetual prophecy.
Yes,
it's how a perpetual prophecy. How is the prophecy of Abigail here go on in continuum? Because it's just about...
Well, there are many, there are many halachos. There are many things that we learn from the whole Bathsheba story. I mean, David HaMelech doesn't get it, you know, and the Gemara said itself that none of them worked. None of these Nevi'im actually worked. But there are things that we learn from the Bathsheba story.
That it's eternal for...
Yeah, I mean, exactly what the Nevuah is supposed to teach Klal Yisrael in the future, and what any of these Nevuahs are supposed to teach us in particular, I can't address that. I don't know. But... But yeah, there is something to it. I can't say much more than that. I don't know exactly what we're supposed to be taking out of it. This particular Nevuah, that is. Yeah. Anyway, we go on. Huldah. Huldah was the sixth of the Nevios.
Who's Huldah?
The sixth of the Nevios.
We're about to talk about her.
Like,
she was a...
I never heard of her.
She was a Nevi'a. A prophetess. Okay?
These were all Nevi'os. But like Sarah, we know who Sarah is. We know who Abigail or...
But we don't know who Huldah was?
Not... I mean, you may, you plural, I don't.
What was the time period? Where was she alive?
Huldah was alive at the end of Bayis Rishon. Okay, this is like the beginning of the end, the demise. This is post Menashe. Okay, Menashe was the king of Yisrael for 55 years. Huldah, what happened was Menashe was the king for 55 years. He was a Rasha Merusha, one of the worst kings in our history. However, his son one-upped him, and for 2 years was even worse. His son's name, I don't remember what his son's name was, but he was really bad. Then his son was Yoshiyahu, and Yoshiyahu was fantastic. And Yoshiyahu really cleaned stuff up, and he tried his very best to clean up Klal Yisrael. If you remember the story in Bartan HaMasechus Tainis, we're not going to repeat it, but Yoshiyahu was a fantastic king, ruled for, I want to say, 33 years. What? This is way after Yeravam. Oh. Yeravam was really bad, too.
But Yeravam came after Nevat, right? Isn't he Yeravam ben Nevat?
Very good. But at any rate, Yoshiyahu ruled for, I want to say, 33 years, and he really cleaned up Klal Yisrael, and he really attempted to do a complete cleanup. Unfortunately, he was trying to get rid of the Avodah Zarah and Klal Yisrael, and was mostly unsuccessful. But he was a really big tzaddik and a great king. And in cleaning up the Mikdash, because the Mikdash had been so dismantled and destroyed by the previous kings that were Rishoyim, in cleaning up the Mikdash, he found a scroll. And it was purported to be the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu that was Nignaz, and he found it. And when they found it, they noticed that it was wound to the klalos in Parshas Bechukosai. It was a really bad place to be. It was a very bad simon, and they didn't know what to make of the fact that it was bound there. So Yoshiyahu sent Chilkiyahu a Kohen and others to find out. Are you listening to this? Because this is the whole thing.
Okay.
That's the whole Chulda. That's how you got me into this.
Sorry.
Okay. Because we're gonna go 5 extra minutes because of you. So Chulda was tapped by Chilkiyahu HaKohen to explain what this Torah scroll to the part, to that part in Parshas Bechukosai, what was that teaching us? And so she was Misnabe in this.
That was her Nevuah
to be able to translate to explain to them what was going to happen. And suffice it to say, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. So her Nevuah was quite rotten. At any rate, that's the background to Chulda. Chulda dechsev vayelech Hilkiyahu haKohen vaAchikam vaAchbor. Right there you go. The Hilkiyahu haKohen and Achikam and Achbor, they were sent by Yoshiyahu to Chulda to explain what this this Torah scroll meant. So says the Gemara, wait a minute. Ubamakum dekoy Yirmiyahu. This is during the times of Yirmiyah. So in a place where Yirmiyahu was, heichim isnabi ihi. How can she have a nevuah? Meaning, how dare she take a nevuah when Yirmiyahu himself was misnabe? It should have gone to him. That's a lack of cover. Now, it's a little bit of a strange question, Lechora, because a nevuah is given to somebody. You don't really volunteer so much to take a nevuah. Hashem gives you a nevuah, and you're not allowed to be kovesh your nevuah. So, if she was given a nevuah, what's the problem? She's got to give the nevuah. So there are different answers. Some people
she's like to suppress it.
Yeah. She's not allowed to suppress it. She's given a nevuah.
She couldn't wait until someone talks to Yirmiyah and then they come to her and say, "Hey, what's your nevuah?" Like she has to give it as soon as she gets
she's
it.
Got right. I mean, as soon as she gets it, she's got to give it as if they're coming to her. So why is the Gemara such a problem with her? There are different answers given. One answer is that really it's only a Navi Ish, it's only a male Navi is not allowed to be Kovish, because it says in the Pasuk of being Kovish, of withholding your Nevuah, of restraining yourself, it says Ish. So that's perhaps only referencing a male Navi, but a female Nevuah is allowed to be Kovish, so maybe she should have been. Another possible answer is that it says ubemakom dekoy Yirmiyah, meaning she was in Yerushalayim. So how dare she? The Gemara's problem is why was she in Yerushalayim to begin with? She shouldn't have been there at all. Okay. The other answer is that a Navi, in order to receive a nevuah, he doesn't just wake up one morning and get a nevuah. He's got to prepare himself in different ways to receive a nevuah. So she was obviously of that mindset to be receiving a nevuah. Why did she even prepare herself for such when Yirmiyahu was clearly the Navi? He was the at-bat Navi. He was the cleanup hitter. So why is she all of a sudden taking the nod?
Is that an official rule that like Batman and Bruce Wayne can't be in the same place at the same time? Like you can't have two Navim?
Can't have Batman and Bruce Wayne. Can't have... Well, you could have two Navim. You could definitely have two Navim. But I think the problem is that Yirmiyahu is the... He's the master Navi.
So but does one Nevuah doesn't inherently negate the other, so their physical location... I just don't understand how their physical location has anything to do with denigrating the Nevuah.
Yeah, it is... Right, it is one answer, you're right. I don't know that it's such a great answer, but maybe the Gemara is saying if she wasn't in Yerushalayim... Excluding the other Nevuah so much, but it is saying that maybe she shouldn't have been in that place where she was so easily accessible. Whereas Yirmiyahu's territory is Yerushalayim. All right, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I hear it. At any rate, different answers. But there you have it. The Gemara says, "So how could b'makom dekoy Yirmiyahu heichem yisnabi ihi?" So Amri, so they say, Amri Bei Rav, Mishmei Derav, Chulda Krovas Yirmiyahu Aisa. Actually, Chulda was very close to Yirmiyahu. She was a relative of Yirmiyahu. And therefore, V'lo Hava Makbid Alei. Therefore, she knew that Yirmiyahu wasn't going to be Makbid if she took the Nevuah and gave the Nevuah. So they had this arrangement that, hey, if you get a Nevuah, go for it, sis. It's all yours. Interesting, Gemara. Says the Gemara, fine. So she gave over the Nevuah. But Yoshia Gufei Hechi Shavit Yirmiyahu Meshadi L'Gabah. Why did Yoshia opt to go to Chulda as opposed to going to Yirmiyah? I mean, Yirmiyah is the man. That guy's the ace. So why are you going to anybody else but Yirmiyah? So so says the Gemara, Amri the Bei Rebbe Shila Mipnei Shehanashim Rechman Yosein. Because women are kinder. They're softer. Women are softer, so hopefully we get a better nevuah. Now, I don't know if that's the pshat, or maybe the pshat is that since women are rachmanios, maybe they were hoping that along with the nevuah, she would be mispalel, that the nevuah should be negated or abated, or that it should be lessened or weakened. It's hard to say that because she's rachmanios, that therefore her nevuah is not going to be as genuine. It's a little bit hard to understand. So you have to say something like, they were hoping that she would be able to mitigate the strength of the Nevuah, that they realized this was going to be a really bad Nevuah. At any rate, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yirmiyah lo hava hasam. Yirmiyah wasn't even there. I'll tell you why she was the one who gave the nevuah, and I'll tell you why they went to her. It's because Yirmiyah was not there. He was out of the stadium. Why? Shahalach lahachzir aseres hashvatim. Because Yirmiyah went back to get the aseres hashvatim who had been nigleh. He went there to bring them back to Yerushalayim. When we know in Dahadur, and how do we know that they actually came back with Yirmiyah? Because the pasuk says Yirmiyah's misnabe. He says the following nevuah: Ki hamocher el hamemkar lo yashuv. He who sells the property will not be able to come back to his property. Meaning Yovel will not be in existence anymore. There will come a time, says Yirmiyah, when Yovel would not exist. So says the Gemara, wait a minute. Efshar Yovel batel v'navi misnabi alav sheyi batel. Could it be that Yovel was batel already and then he's being misnabe that in the future it's going to be batel? Meaning that if we were talking about a time when the Aseres HaShvatim weren't there, so that means that Yovel couldn't exist because you have to have most of the people living there. So it must have been, Elam Alamed, it must have been Yirmiyah Hechziron. Yirmiyah brought them back to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Yovel was reinstated. And therefore, he gave the Nevuah that there will come a time when it will be unreinstated. Unstated.
Again.
It will come a time. And therefore, we know that he actually did succeed in bringing them back. V'yoshio ben Amon malach aleihen. And Yoshia was molech on these people that came back. Because it says in the pasuk, he went to Yerushalayim, and he said, Vayomer, he said, Ma tziyun halaz, what is this, this tziyun, what is this, how do you explain, tziyun is a, marker, right? What is this marker? He said he was noting a marker near a kever, and he's saying, "What is this marker, Asher Ani Re'eh, that I see?" Vayomru, and they said to him, "Anshei ha'ir ha'kever ishu elokim asher bam Yehuda." This is the this is the marker. This is the kever of a ishu elokim of a navi. I think it was Ido Hanavi. And he actually, years ago, gave a nevuah that you would come one day and you would destroy this Mizbeach that was set up in Beis El. And that, in fact, is what Yoshia did. But what is Yoshia doing in Beis El? Beis El was not Yehuda territory. It was Yisrael territory. The 10 tribes came back to...
It was not what territory, it was what territory?
It was Yehuda. It was not Yehuda territory. Meaning there were Melech Yehuda and Melech Yisrael. And they had their own territories. This Beis El was in
the north and the south. Yeah.
Right. The Beis El was in the it was in Yisrael territory. So what was Yoshio doing there before? So the answer is the 10 Shvatim, when they came back by from Yirmiyah, they came back and they grouped, they lived around that area. And that's why Yoshio was Molech Alehen, that he took it upon himself to be the king of them as well. And that's what he was doing in Beis El to begin with. Anyway, Rav Nachman Amar Mehacha. Rav Nachman says that we know that he was melech on them from a different pasuk, because it says Gam Yehuda, also Yehuda, meaning Yelech Yehuda, Shas Katsirlach. He would place a harvest there, a reference to his kingship, Beshuvi Shvusami, when the people came back. And so this is a reference to when the Aseres HaShvatim came back, that Yehuda would come and he would be molech aleihem. Okay. Anyway, that was the whole incident of Chulda, Hanaviyah, and that's how we know that she was a Naviyah. And that brings us to our final Naviyah, and that is Esther. Esther Hanaviyah, Dechsev, how do we know that Esther was a Naviyah? Vayihi bayom ha'shlishi, it was on the third day, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. Esther wore Malchus. She wore kingship. What does it mean, she wore the kingship? Big day malchus be boiling. It should say that she wore.
Yes.
Right. What does she have to do? What does it? What does it have to do with malchus? You don't wear malchus, right? You wear big day malchus. That's what the Gemara says. Big day malchus be boiling. She should have worn big day malchus. What does it mean? She wore malchus. Ella she loved shesa ruach hakodesh. What does it mean that she was wearing malchus? She was wearing ruach hakodesh. Ksiv hacha. How do we know that? Because it says over here about tilbash, she wore. Big Malchus, Uksiv Hasam, and it says by David HaMelech, the Ruach Lovsha Esa Masai. the a spirit dressed a Maasai, and that is a reference to the dressing is a reference to Ruach HaKodesh, that Ruach is a Ruach HaKodesh. The Pashup Shat and the Pasuk, the truth is, the Pashup Shat is, the Ruach Lavshas HaMasai, is that HaMasai was inspired. He was inspired to speak to David.
Who was HaMasai?
Rosh HaShalishim, he was one of the head officers. I don't remember the context of this Pasuk, but he was among some of the other officers, none of whom wanted to speak to David, but the Ruach Lavshas HaMasai is that he became inspired. But anyway, the Gemara here learns that the Ruach is a Ruach HaKodesh, even though he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, but the Ruach is a Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore Esther had the Ruach HaKodesh when it says that like, she was Lavsha Malchus, Shevatila Bash, Esther Malchus, that she was wearing Ruach HaKodesh.
So she had both the Ruach HaKodesh and the Koach? It's like a 1-2 punch?
Kind of, yeah. Exactly. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Since we were talking about these Nevios, the Gemara closes and says, Amar Rav Nachman, lo yo'e yehirusa lanashi. Haughtiness is not a fine quality when it comes to women. I don't know that haughtiness is a good quality by anybody, but it's certainly not very good by women. Because Tarti Nashi Yehiran Havyan, there were two haughty women, Besanyan Shemayhu, and they had very disgusting kind of low-grade names. Chadosh Maziburta, one of them was named a bee, that's Devora Ziburta, she was named a bee. The Chadosh Ma Karkushta, and one of them is named Karkushta, which is a weasel, which is Chulda. And both Devora and Chulda were haughty, were a little bit haughty. Ziburta, when it comes to Devora, Ksivba, it says by Devora, Vatishlach Vatikra le Barak, she sent and called to Barak. The Ilu Ihilo Azla le Gabay. She called to Barak saying, hey, you come to me. But she didn't go to him. She didn't offer him the respect, even though he was a leader of the time. She did not offer him the respect of going to him. She said to him, hey, you come to me. Karkushta, what did Chulda do that made her not such a lovely woman? Ksivba, it says by her that she said, Imru la'ish, I want you to tell the man. Which man? Referencing Yoshiyahu, who sent you here. Tell the man. V'lo amra imru la'melech. She didn't say, tell the king the following Nevuah. So she, she really disrespected the king. Anyway, so we see from here that that's not such a nice thing to do. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, the Gemara closes with this, Chulda mibnei banav shel Yehoshua haisa. You should know that Chulda was a descendant of Yehoshua. Ksiv hacha, because it says here that... one second. Yes, it says here by Chulda that she was the husband, she was the wife of Shalom ben Tikva, who was ben Charchas. So the word Charchas comes up in the context of Chulda, and Uksiv Hasam, and it says by Yehoshua, Betimnas Cheres, that he lived in Cheres, and Cheres and Charchas are close enough that we can make a Gzereshava of sorts to say that just like the Cheres is in reference to Yehoshua, so to the Charchas in the context of Chulda is teaching you that they are related. And Chulda, in fact, was a great descendant of Yehoshua. But says the Gemara, that can't be. Esve Rav Eina Saba le Rav Nachman Shmuna. Sorry, Rav Nachman. Shmona Nevi'im Vehem Kohanim. There are 8 Nevi'im, and they were Kohanim. Yatsu Merachav Azona. There were 8 Nevi'im, all of whom were Kohanim, and they came out of Rachav Hazona, Ve'eluhen, and these are they, Neria, Baruch, Sarya, Machsia, Yirmia, Chilkia, Hanamel, Ve'shalom. All 8 of those. Rabbi Yehuda, Aimer, Af Chulda, Hanavia, Mibnei Baneha, Shal Rachav Hazona, Haisa. Even Chulda Nevi'ah was a great descendant of Rachav, the Zona. So how can you tell me that Chulda is a great descendant of Yehoshua when it says that she was a great descendant of Rachav? There's no way that Yehoshua and Rachav had any relationship. Rachav was a Zona. She was a prostitute. So How do we know that? Ksiv Hacha, we know that Chulda was the great descendant of Racha because Ksiv Hacha ben Tikva, that Chulda was the son of Tikva, or she was married to the son of Tikva, Uksiv Hasam, and it says by Rachav, Es Tikvas Hachut Hashani, that she was, remember, she was to leave a red, a scarlet string on her windowsill to mark her house, that it should not be smitten. So the tikva relationship there shows you that Chulda was a great descendant of Rachav. So if Chulda is a great descendant of Rachav, how could Chulda also be a great descendant of Yehoshua? Doesn't work. So like Amr Lehi says, Amr Saba says to him, but Amr La Pasya Uchma, and some people said that he said to him, you are a blackened Kli, meaning that's not a complimentary term, meaning you don't have it right. You're not using your mind. Miniu minach tistayin. I can prove to you, both from me and from you, we can make the following conclusion. Shmaisa de Egaria, Shamata de Egaria. It is learned de Egaria that she was Megayeres. She, Rachav, became a Giores, Venisba Yoshua, and Yoshua married her in the end. And so, therefore, Rachav was good in the end. She became a Giores. Yoshua married her, and from both of them came Chulda. I says the Gemara, that can't be, because of Mihav Elezar El Yoshua. Did Yoshua have any children? I'll show you based on the pasuk here, Vahakasiv, it says, Nun Beno, right? Yoshua was Yoshua bin Nun. So Nun was his son, whomever that's referencing. Nun was whomever's son. And Yoshua Beno. And Yoshua was the son of Nun. Yoshua bin Nun. So we see, it doesn't go any further, that Yoshua had no descendants. Says the Gemara, it's true. He had no sons. Lo havale benasan havale. Bani lo havale. He did not have any sons. Benasan havale. But he did have daughters. And so that one of the daughters, at least, was Chulda Hanaviyah. And that came from Yoshua, the relationship between Yoshua and Rachav Azona. And we will stop here because heads are bending.
What? Too, or was Rachav his only wife?
Say again?
Did Yoshua have any other wives or only Rachav?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I don't know.
The Torah doesn't tell us, as far as you know, about...
No, as far as I know, as far as I remember, there's no indication in the Navi itself as to whom Yoshua married.
So how old was he when they went into Eretz Israel?
I don't know the answer to that either.
I know where it says Rachav.
Although that... What?
No, where it says Rachav.
That Rachav was his wife?
Yoshua.
No. Doesn't say anywhere that Rachav was his wife. The Gemara over here learns it out, but there's no other.
In the